welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and start in his word in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. We're kind of finishing up a series today on peace that we've been talking about, the peace that passes understanding. And of course, this is our main text scripture in Philippians 4, 6 through 8. It says, the Apostle Paul writing says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So we were kind of talking when we first started about how you've got this tremendous promise right there highlighted there that says the peace of God that passes our understanding will do something for us. It will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so we've kind of started out this series by almost looking at peace as a form of God's protection over our heart and our mind. We know that we have this battle of the mind, that we're fighting things, we're casting down imaginations, bringing thoughts into captivity, doing this stuff mentally that we know has spiritual influence behind it. But we see a tremendous promise here regarding the peace of God. It doesn't say that we'll be guarding our hearts and minds. It says the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. The peace of God has the ability in the Amplified says, mount garrison, set a troop around our heart and our mind, protect our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So in doing this, we see that there is a promise there in the middle, but we see there's something that we do before that promise and there's something we do after that promise. Before that promise of peace, we're called to pray, to make definite requests, to take that care. First Peter says to cast the care on the Lord, for he cares for you. Paul in Philippians 4, 6 says, pray, let your requests be made known unto God. That's in essence the same thing as casting your care. You're taking this thing that you're worried about. It's not a sin to be anxious. It's not a sin to experience fear, all right? Any more than it's a sin to experience temptation. Satan can roar. He can roar temptation. He can roar fear, and I don't have to apologize for his roar. I can recognize I'm being roared at. And sometimes I would do that. I shared this a few weeks ago, and I'd feel something that was a temptation or a fear, and be thinking, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't. And the Lord just checked me, said, don't be sorry. Do you know, it's not the sorry that are as bold as a lion. It's the righteous that are as bold as a lion. And you can't go around with shame and sorry, sorry, sorry. At some point, you got to realize, hey, I'm being roared at. The Bible says I'm in a body that's liable to the assaults of temptation. You are assaulted with temptation because you're in a body. You don't have to take it personal. That's part of the thing that living in a body is. That's the thing that Jesus experienced when he lived in this body. He was assaulted with temptation. So it's important to realize when I'm tempted, when things happen, that I don't have to immediately go into shame mode. No, that's where the scripture says go into resist mode. When he's roaring, I resist. That's when I'm standing up and saying, no, I reject that roar. I reject that fear. But this is how we resist. This is one way that we resist here in Philippians 4, 6. He doesn't just say be anxious for nothing, period. Christians aren't anxious. He says be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Take that thing you're anxious about and do something with it. Turn it into a definite request. Let your request be made known unto God. And that's really what we talked about last week. How do you cast your cares on the Lord? What does that look like in real life? And so if you want some review on that, that really was the message last week. But we realized that's kind of the first things first. I'm not just in this peace that passes understanding. I'm doing something. I'm taking that care. I'm casting it upon him. Then the promise is there's a peace that will keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. But then finally, brethren, and this is what we're getting along, we're coming up to today in kind of completing the series. He says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true and noble and just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, meditate on these things, okay? And that's quite a shift from verse 6, I'm anxious. From verse 6, there's stuff going on, and I don't know how this thing's going to end, right? And verse 8, I'm just on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, perch. You know, that seems like quite a shift mentally, all right? And like I kind of gave that illustration when we kind of started this thing off, we realize that when we're casting our cares on the Lord and He's caring for us, we got to realize there's a lot of stuff that's getting done, but it's not getting done by us. We're trusting God with some stuff. The illustration that I used, it's like the dad who's in the kitchen and he's got these pieces all over the kitchen, you know, and he's figuring out how to put a sink together, a brand new sink, all right? And you've got the tub, you've got the faucet, you've got the accessories, you've got some other gadgets that go underneath, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to do this, all right? And you got your 8-year-old son looking over your shoulder, you know, trying to help you put this thing together, all right? And you love your 8-year-old son, and you say, you know, son, what I need you to do right now is I need you to kind of get the cardboard gathered up and kind of get the wrappers and all that stuff gathered up. I mean, this is something that needs to be done. And then go out in the garage and kind of break that down for the recycling. That would really be a help. That'll help me to kind of see this parts clear. And we said, you can see that. And what is the father really doing there? He's giving his son something good to do. He's giving him something productive to do, something that needs to be done. But at the same time, he's getting his son out of the kitchen, right? So dad can do the heavy lifting. Dad can do that heavy think work that his son isn't capable of doing. All right? When I'm casting my care on the Lord, I don't know how to fix this sink, but my father does know how to fix the sink. At some point, I got to get out of the kitchen and let him work. I got to get out of the way and let him care for me. I'm not carrying that with him. He's caring for me. All right? And so you get to that verse 8 stuff. I mean, again, you come from an anxious thought in verse 6, and you're looking at things, things that are pure, whatever things are true and noble and just and pure and lovely. There's not a single problem-solving thought there. That's, like I said, I needed intellectual permission to be able to do this. It's frustrating to go from verse 6 to verse 8, and I'm just going to go things that are true and honest and just. How can I make that gear shift? Well, the reason why we do that gear shift is there's a divine, godly strategy in getting us to do verse 8, because the scripture says the wisdom that is from above is going to be pure and peaceable and gentle. So the Father God, what does He want us to do when we're in the middle of care? He wants us to basically get into this place where we're tuning in to the wisdom that's from above. We're setting our mind on things above, because we got then ears to hear the answer to our question, the answer to our anxiety. In other words, I could be over here and say, Father, what is this? He could turn around and look at his 8-year-old son and tell him exactly what needs to be done, and the 8-year-old son wouldn't even have ears to hear what that is. He's emotionally a wreck. He's not even in a place to hear it. He's just casting the care of it over on him. And then I'm going to come over here, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, but I have listening ears. I know I'm going to get the answer to the thing that I prayed about in verse 6 over here in verse 8. All right? So this is where I really want to go in verse 8 this morning, and it's really that beginning to let the peace of God rule. And that's what Colossians 3:15 says. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace from Christ rule. Act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state. All right? So in verse 6, we got some questions. But we find out that as we let the peace of God rule, that peace of God is going to umpire, and it's going to help us to understand what is God and what isn't God. It's going to act as umpire continually in our hearts and minds. And so where we're going with it this morning is we know there's a peace that passes our understanding that keeps our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus, but we also find out that we have a part to play here. We have to let that peace of God rule, okay? So I know that the peace of God that's in Christ Jesus has the ability to keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It has that ability to do that. But if I don't let that peace of God rule in my heart and mind, then it has nothing to do. It has nothing to keep my heart, mind, and Christ. In other words, it wants to keep my heart, mind, and Christ Jesus, but if I override the peace, it can't do what it's supposed to do. So there is this beautiful symbiotic relationship we have with the peace of God. The peace of God's going to rule our heart and mind in Christ, but we have to let the peace of God rule our heart and mind in Christ, okay? So this is where I would kind of trip up. I'd pray the prayer, I'd cast the care, and I'm just going to be total peace. But you find out that, no, there's another part I have to play, all right? There's a part that I have to play to let that peace of God rule in my heart and mind as it relates to those cares and things that we're dealing with. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. How do I work with the peace of God? How do I've cast that care on the Lord. I'm trusting Him with it. Now I got to work with the peace of God. I got to let that peace of God rule in my heart, in my mind. How do we do that? Here we go. Letting the peace of God rule in our hearts. The first thing that we have to do to let the peace of God rule in our heart is it's letting peace umpire our thoughts, all right? We know that the peace of God acts as umpire, settling with finality those thoughts and the questions that arise in our hearts. And a big thing of peace is letting the peace of God umpire our thoughts. Now, when you think of an umpire, what do you think of? You think of baseball, right? This is the baseball season. An umpire is the guy who calls balls and strikes. He calls safe or out. He has the authority to do that. Now, does everybody always agree with the umpire? No. You'll see people, yell back at the umpire, and we can disagree with the umpire. And, and the umpire's job is just to call balls and strikes. You might not like the call. But you got to let the umpire umpire. You got to let him. If you're going to let the peace of God rule, you got to let the peace of God umpire. Even, you're up there pitching, and you might have thought you pitched a good strike. And the umpire says, ball. If we're going to let the peace of God umpire our thoughts, our hearts, our minds, this is a big part of letting the peace of God rule. This morning, we kind of even touched on this scripture in worship. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. All right, here is a big way that the peace of God becomes like a weapon of our warfare. It becomes like a baseline. It becomes like the wisdom of God in our thought life. But what does it say? These weapons bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If I'm going to bring a thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, then I got to know something about Christ. I need to know something about Him, His word, His nature, His character, His voice, to be able to say that's Christ or that's not Christ. Okay? Here's one of the scriptures that we've been looking at through the weeks too, where Jesus, I'm just calling this, these scriptures together and putting them together, and this is what it looks like when you pitch a strike. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is Jesus speaking. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And here's a description of what the wisdom from above sounds like. This is from James. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, it's full of mercy and good fruits, it's without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So we find out that the Lord has a peaceful, quiet voice, a voice that is, there it is, pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. There's mercy. There is no partiality. There's no hypocrisy in it at all. It's clean. It's pure. It's right. And that's the voice. As I'm bringing my thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ, does it sound like that? And if I'm going to let the peace of God umpire, if I'm going to let the peace of God rule in my heart, I've got to be honest with my own thoughts. Because those thoughts will come through, and sometimes those thoughts are beautiful, and they're revelatory, and you see things you didn't see before. It's like, oh, I see it, I get it. It's not like just, I see, you might know something's wrong, but you get a revelation, you see that it's wrong. You see the stuff behind it, you get revelation on something, and there's peace, and it's clean, and it's right, and it's like, strike, that's good. But then there's other thoughts, all right, that the enemy has. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And this is kind of put together with James 3, talking about the other kind of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. It's not a strike. It's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. For envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. All right? What are we talking about? We're talking about letting the peace of God rule. If I'm going to let the peace of God rule, I got to let the peace of God umpire my thoughts. We've kind of talked about letting the peace of God, you know, that leads and guides us into all truth, that can lead and guide us into maybe a school that we go to or don't go to, or a relationship, or it could be a decision or a financial decision, different things like that. We can let the peace of God, but the peace of God wants to rule in our thoughts. He wants to rule the thoughts we think. In other words, there's going to be thoughts that we don't think because the peace isn't there. This is when peace becomes a very powerful weapon through God. All right? We're talking about calling balls, calling strikes, bringing thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. God wants us to work with his peace. He wants us to let peace rule. He wants us to take those thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Jesus said, you know, he wasn't just talking to anybody. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and who are heavy laden. Come unto me, all you Philippians 4, 6 people who are anxious about stuff. And I will give you rest. I will give you a peace that passes your understanding. When you take my yoke upon you and learn of me, you'll find that I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You're going to find rest for your souls. He's describing the way he is, and that wisdom that from above, it sounds just like that. Why is it peaceable and gentle and willing to yield? Why is it full of mercy and good fruit? Because he is gentle and lowly in heart. And when he speaks to you, that's the way his wisdom sounds. And when you're going to let peace rule, you're listening for that voice. You're listening for that voice of peace. You're listening for that because there is another voice that is angry, that is roaring, that will stir you up, okay? And this is where letting peace rule means we're going to listen to the thoughts that are right. I've done this right. I've done this wrong. I've kind of used the illustration once where I'd had a car opportunity, this little silver car that when I was a young guy and, you know, just getting ready to buy, it's like my second or car, I think, but it was more of a legit car, and it was cool looking, and I loved it, and I wanted to buy it, and I just got one little check from the Lord. It just said, have so-and-so look at it, and so I had, his name was Dan, I said, had Dan look at it. I said, okay, I'm going to do that, Lord, because I sense that you want me to do that, and Dan looked at it, sized it up 5 different ways, and said, nope, I would not buy this car. There's a little bit of paint there. See, it had a different color. He looked at the alignment. It was a little bit off. He looked at the engine. It looked like a little, there was like a little whitish mark that there might have been water damage on this thing. And all of a sudden, he just said all that stuff. And every time he was just saying, he said, yep, Ed, I went by this car. I said, okay, Dan, thank you. Bye. And in my heart, it was like, I want that car. I want that car. It looks so cool. And I overrode. I overrode what Dan said, and I got that car. And, you know, Julie is my witness. I replaced that engine several times, timing belts. I found out just about every different part of a car from having that car because I just about had to replace it. It was unbelievable. And it ran great for the first 60 days. And then after that, it just, it fell to pieces on me. And at that point, I couldn't cry up and say, oh, why God? Oh, why God? I knew better. I knew I'd overridden some things. I know I had overrode some peace. You don't, in other words, the scripture says, let the peace of God rule because you got a choice in the matter. You don't have to let the peace of God rule. You can rule. You can lord over what you really want or don't want. Letting the peace of God rule means I'm going to let his peace rule those decisions, settle with finality, those thoughts that come up, those questions. But one of the things that I've got to be honest with is calling balls and strikes in my own thought life. If something is strife and just tearing me up, I got to be able to say ball. I got to look at the wisdom and say, is this, and you'll notice it says, if you have bitter envy in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This is not a strike. This wisdom is not from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. Why does the scripture have to so emphatically tell us that a ball is not a strike? Because there's a temptation to want that ball to be a strike. I want to buy that car. There is something that we have as human beings that we want things our way, and sometimes the word can get inconvenient at times. It can interrupt what we really want. But this is where, if I'm going to let peace rule, I'm going to be honest and I'm saying, nope, I'm not going to do that. Now, you'll see that the enemy, he goes about as a roaring lion. He walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What is he doing? He's roaring thoughts. He's roaring suggestions. And sometimes, you know, he gets people in different ways. He'll roar really loud, you know, so loud. It could be a strong accusing thought, a strong angry thought, a strong passionate thought that is so loud that if it's that loud, it's got to be God. And the scripture says, nope, just because it's loud doesn't mean that it's God. Do you have strife in there? Do you have anger in there? Do you have hatred in there? Just because it's loud, it's not God. It isn't. And so we have to listen for the quality of that thought. You know? And, you know, some people will listen to that and they'll, and not everybody's fooled by that. Some people are like, it's loud. Okay, just stop the roar. I'll do whatever you say. You know, there can be that intimidation. And other people hear that loud roar and they go, oh, well, that's not God. I can tell that's not God. But the enemy doesn't stop there. If he doesn't get you on volume 10, he'll try to get you on volume 1. He'll talk really quiet, really soft. You poor thing. I don't know how you do it. I can never put up with that. Wow. You are just amazing. And you're thinking, wow, that's kind of, you're kind of picking up, you're kind of getting this a little bit. It's like, wow, that's really, that must be the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Not everybody can hear that voice. You know, people that are used to the roaring, they don't, they're tone deaf. They can't even hear that. But that's what gets them, and maybe this is what gets you, or it's other people. It's like, oh, okay, wow. But what do you have to, take that thought. You don't bring it captive on the basis of its loudness or quietness. You look at where this thing's leading, because you can have those quiet little thoughts, and before long, you're in the pit of self-pity and anger and rejection, and, you know, even that, it starts with a quiet little thought. So what are we doing? We're calling balls and strikes. We've got to let the peace of God call balls and strikes in our thoughts. Say, is this a ball or is this a strike? If I'm going to let the peace of God rule, I've got to be honest with what I'm getting by the peace of God. Where is this leading me? Where is this taking me? What's the trajectory of this thought? Where is it bringing me to? And that's where you see that such the difference of trajectory here. The wisdom that's from above, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to, in other words, it's easy to listen to. You're willing to hear. It's full of mercy and good fruits and no partiality and no hypocrisy. In other words, when God is speaking to you, all right, you're praying, you're Philippians 4, 6, and casting that care, you're setting your mind on things above, you're listening for this wisdom that's from above, and you get it. There's going to be something that's going to be no partial. In other words, a lot of times when you're listening to that demonic wisdom, you're the good guy and the other person's always the bad guy. Life's a little more complicated than that. And there may be times that people do bad things to you. And there'll be times that you're doing bad things. And I say good guy, bad guy. We're all growing up spiritually in different ways. And we're learning and growing. But the wisdom that's from above, it's not good guy, bad guy stuff. There's just no partiality in it. God will begin to show you some things. He'll show you a person's heart. He can show you how they may have responded. He'll give you an insight. And he might show you some things in a way that will correct you, that will help you say, okay, wow, I can see how that would have been, could have come across wrong, or I could have said that better, or different things like that. Not in a condemning way. He's meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. He's not going to condemn. But he'll instruct in a way that's clean and right and pure. It's not this, you know, extreme thing. It's this place where, God, show me what is right and what's clean. In other words, you're listening for that peace. You're listening for a wisdom that is full of the peace of God, the grace of God, no partiality, no hypocrisy, and it's sown in peace of them that make peace. And this is where the peace that passes your understanding is such a big deal in letting that peace rule, because when you get the wisdom you need, it's going to be sown in peace. God is going to give it to you in a peaceful way. He's not going to roar it into you. He's going to reveal it to you. It's a wisdom that'll come down. And that's just the way he talks. He is meek. He is lowly in heart. That's the way he rolls. That's what he says, learn of me. And a big part of letting the peace of God rule in your heart is letting him umpire our thoughts. And in that umpire, we begin to learn. We begin to learn of him and how he talks to us. And we begin to listen for that voice. So that's part of it. So when you see that original scripture, after he gets done saying, be anxious for nothing, let your requests be made known to God, the peace of God that passes will guard your hearts through Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You see that emphatic follow through. It's like a baseball player following through his swing. There's a follow through from Philippians 4, 6 to 7 to 8. He knows that you're going to get attacked. He knows there's going to be things that are going to try to distract you from your prayer. He's saying, begin to think on those things that are true, honest, just. That's where the wisdom is. That's where it's going to happen. That's where you're going to begin to let that peace rule. You're going to make sure that it's lining up with my kind of thoughts, my kind of thinking. Now, that's just kind of on a thought level. But as we're talking about letting the peace of God rule in our hearts, it's not just a matter of letting it rule thoughts, individual kind of thoughts, whether the quality of the thought is good or bad, but it's letting the peace pass our understanding. We know that the peace of God that passes our understanding will keep our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. But if that peace is going to pass our understanding, we also have to let it pass our understanding. We have a choice there too. We don't always know. We don't always have the understanding of the things that, you know, that are causing the anxiety in the first place. So there's decisions that have to be made here too. Psalm 25, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Let none who waits on you be ashamed. When you're going to let the peace of God pass your understanding, that's humbling. And you're going to get into these vulnerable places. And it's kind of like, boy, according to my calculations, this looks really bad, but I've prayed about it. I cast the care of it over on you, Lord, and I know you're working on it. I'm staying out of the kitchen. I'm going to let you work on it. I'm going to let you reveal to me what I need to know about that thing. But in the meantime, I'm going to let that peace pass my understanding. In other words, you're getting some arguments, some really good arguments. And it's like, wow, I don't know how to answer these things. But you realize when the peace that passes your understanding is ruling your heart and mind, you don't have to understand. The peace is going out ahead of your understanding. I don't have peace because I understand. I have a peace that passes my understanding. The peace is the engine. The understanding is the caboose. I'm letting the peace engine this thing. And I'm coming to these points. Unto you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. I'm trusting you with this, Lord. I remember when Julie and I were in Bible school, it was our second year, and it was actually after the second miscarriage we had in Bible school, you know? After the first one, you think, okay, maybe my faith wasn't exactly right. So now I'm going to dot some I's and cross my T's that I didn't the first time. You have a second miscarriage, and you're going, okay, Lord, what's going on here? You know, you get some situations, and it's like, you know, we're doing everything we know to do to live for you with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, and you know, things are just that I can't explain, we can't understand here. And I would just remember reading that passage of Scripture, that Philippians chapter 4, 6, 7, and 8, and just that came out, just flashed in my mind. The peace of God that passes your understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And I just remember the Lord just saying, Ed, you got to just trust me with this. Just trust me with this. There's an answer here. But it passes your understanding. You know, you don't always understand everything at the moment. And I just remember saying, okay, Lord, I'm keeping that care cast over on you. And it was probably about, I don't know if it was a few days later, we got a call from the hospital just indicating that there was a certain bacteria or something that they found that Julie had had, that they gave us an antibiotic, it knocked it out, and we never had a problem ever since. It was just no problem. It was something simple. But if the Holy Spirit would have given me some technical name of a bacteria, I wouldn't even know what he was talking about. He was just saying, trust me with this. It's okay. I've got this. You know, I'm gonna be able to, I'm watching. I've heard your prayer. I get it. I know. Trust me with this. And one of the biggest things about this is realizing I have permission to trust God with this. I don't have to intellectually resolve it. It's okay for the peace of God to pass my understanding. That's what it's supposed to do. That's humbling. But it's okay. It does seem awkward. It does seem different because I don't understand the answer. I can't answer the questions and the antagonistic reasonings, that are wanting to pull me back into a place of anxiety. But I'm letting the peace of God rule. I'm going to let it pass my understanding. I'm going to cry out, Lord, unto you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My trust is in you. I don't understand this, but my trust is in you. Sometimes that's your response. That's your response, is just to lift up to the Lord your soul and acknowledge that your trust is in him. As you're trusting him, he gives you revelation in some stuff, though. These things, is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we find out that we know the Holy Spirit's been given to us to lead and guide us into all truth, but the Holy Spirit begins to work with us. Because the peace of God that passes our understanding, it passes our natural understanding. In other words, I'm doing the math mentally. I don't know how this is going to work out. It could be financially or relationally or whatever that care or anxiety might be, or health, or whatever it is. You're running the math, and these things just don't make sense. But you're beginning to trust God in some of these areas, and God begins to give you some more math to work in your understanding. In other words, he's going to give you some of his great and precious promises that's going to cause you to see some things differently. In other words, is your reasoning, and maybe you're dealing with a care. Maybe you're dealing with a care or a frustration. God will begin to remind you of the cross of Jesus Christ, about how that cross took upon him the sin of the whole world. You're trying to understand, you're trying to rationalize injustice, and God will begin to show you, in the same way that I took all of your injustices, Ed, I took all of the injustices ever committed against you too. This cross has absorbed all that injustice. Therefore, you can forgive even as I have forgiven you. You begin to stay with the Word of God, push into the Word of God, and you begin to compare spiritual things with spiritual, and realize, wait now, okay, I'm not. I know so and so couldn't put up with this, and so, but I'm not so and so. I'm a born again child of God who's been redeemed. I have the love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. The cross that is absorbed and satisfied the injustice in the heart of God of the sins of the world can satisfy my sense of injustice. I can forgive even as God in Christ has forgiven me. As you're standing in these places of letting his peace pass your understanding, he'll begin to give you understanding in some things and understanding in some areas. As you're asking God for wisdom, he'll begin to give you wisdom in some things. He'll begin to give you some understanding in some things. This is why the scripture is so emphatic. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They're life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So as we're talking about letting his peace pass your understanding, a big part of it is giving attention to his words, his understanding, his ways. And as we begin to do that, we begin to get revelation in his ways. We begin to see things about that. Because here's the deal. And, Jesus gave an interesting exhortation when he told his disciples. He was having them go and preach the gospel and, going in different households. And he said, when you go into a household, he said, if that household is worthy, let your peace rest on it. He said, but if it's not worthy, then let your peace return to you. Okay? You can let your peace rest on something, or you can let your peace return to you. I experienced this in principle firsthand once when I was doing some witnessing, street witnessing, in Minnesota with a friend. We were just out sharing the gospel, you know, kind of like what the disciples were out doing. And Steve, who I was with, was just sharing the gospel with a guy about the good news of Jesus Christ. And do you know, you can know you have eternal life. You can know you're going to go to heaven when you die because of the love of Jesus Christ. And that guy looked at Steve just angry and just, you know, just seething and says, "Oh, you're one of those, aren't you?" He says, "Just get out of my face." And I'm right there with Steve. You know, he's kind of the main guy. And I was just amazed at Steve's initial response. He said, "Okay, that's fine. Hey, no problem. God bless you, sir." Steve let his peace return to him. And he went down. He was praying for the guy. He went across the street, and we got three brothers saved. He got three brothers saved who were waiting for a bus stop within a few minutes. When that happened, and that guy said that, and I'm looking at him, and he's looking at us, I did not want to let my peace return to me. I wanted to stay there and fight with him and let him know what I meant when we said that you can know you have eternal life. Because I know when he said, "You're one of those," I knew what he was thinking, and I wanted to fight. I did not want to let my peace return to me. I wanted to, and this is a choice that we have. There are going to be antagonistic places. You know, they were talking about physical places. They know where the disciples were going. If they were favorable toward the message, then they were going to be able to do that. If they weren't, then have the good sense to let your peace return to you and go on to the next village, you know? But we do that in principle, too, when you got arguments and things that are coming against the peace that passes your understanding. Arguments that are fighting, that can't happen. That person will never change. That situation will never turn. You'll never get the finances for that. You're arguing, and you can sense that contention. And it's coming for that peace. It's debating your understanding. And it was so humbling for Steve in that moment to say, "Oh, that's okay, sir. All right, fine." He humbled himself. But he let his peace return to him, and his joy never changed. His demeanor never changed. He did that continuity in the flow. He was able to just go on down. This is where, when we let the peace of God pass our understanding, there are things, arguments, and high things that come against us. We don't win these battles by engaging those things in outwitting the devil or outwitting or outthinking our opponent here. That's not how we win these battles. We let the peace of God that passes our understanding keep our heart and mind in Christ. We let our peace, in other words, if I feel like I'm getting worked up, I'm going to let my peace return to me. I'm not going to get all worked up. I'm going to let my peace return to me. I'm completely disengaging from that argument. I'm going to let the peace of God rule in my heart. I'm going to let the peace of God pass my understanding. My answer to that is, "Unto thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in you." I don't have to have the intellectual satisfaction, the emotional satisfaction of winning an argument there. The peace of God is actually becoming a weapon at that point. It's peace or non-peace. He either sounds like this or he doesn't sound like this. I mean, Jesus said, you know, "I am meek and lowly in heart. The wisdom is going to be pure and peaceable." And James said, "If you have strife and envy, glory not. This wisdom doesn't come from above." You have the permission to disengage. It's humbling that way, but God gives grace to the humble. And he sees those points in your heart when you're disengaging something that has had you maybe for years and say, "No, I'm not engaging that. I'm going to let the peace of God pass my understanding. I'm just letting the peace of God. I don't understand it, but that's the whole idea behind a peace that passes your understanding. I'm going to let the peace rule. I'm going to let it rule." I've mentioned this many times, but one time the Lord just said to me, "You don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise me." And that's kind of the same concept. You can't feel like it's your job to have to bring closure to a circular demonic argument that has no right answer. You don't have to do it. I can disengage, and I'm listening for the wisdom that's from above. That's why I'm finally, brethren, than whatever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely. Man, what's the thing that checks all those boxes of Philippians 4:8? The Word of God checks all those boxes. Worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Songs, hymns, spiritual songs, being filled with the Spirit of God. There's a simplistic upward look to God. Setting my mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. What am I doing? I'm just going to let the peace of God rule. This is humbling, but this is where you make progress. This is where this happens. This is my final point. Private epic moments with God. I didn't know how to put this any better, so I'm just putting it that way. But when you go through all these gyrations, you're honest with thought stuff, and then you get honest with argument stuff, this is what happens. The goal isn't just to be in a constant peaceful, I just got peace all the time. No, you want peace, but it's a means to an end to change you. Something's going on in you. You're not staying the same. There's going to be some private epic moments with God that are between you and Him, and you know how it happened. You know some private decisions that you made that got you to some certain places. This is where, I love this, Romans, there's a transform, because when we're talking about letting Him umpire your thoughts, letting that peace pass your understanding, something's happening. You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind is what's happening. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, letting that peace rule. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This is Corinthians. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. You know, sometimes if Julie and I do something that's kind of off the wall or kind of out of character or something, you know, she might say to me, you know, who are you and what have you done with my husband? You know, or something like that. Or your kid does something like that. You know, we kind of know what we mean by that. But I'll tell you what, when you begin to all of a sudden, man, for years and years, when this happens, I always go there. I'm not going there anymore, though. It's like, who am I and what have I done with that little cowarding person that I used to be? Something begins to change in you. There are some private epic moments with God. You begin to realize, wow, I don't have to go there. I don't have to do that. Praise God. There's a freedom. There's a liberty. Things begin to happen in your walk with the Lord that really begin to cause you to realize there's change in this. I mean, I'm thankful for peace. I want peace in the middle of the storm. But it's not just for peace's sake. There's change. There's transformation that's going on. Because version 2.0 of you, you know, you're going from 1.0 to 2.0. 2.0 doesn't, you know, 2.0, certain bugs don't work on 2.0. Because some things have been renewed in the software from 1.0 to 2.0. And that's the glory of letting the peace of God rule. Because stuff is changing. Software stuff is changing. God's doing a work in you as you're beholding Him. As you're beholding true, honest, just, pure, lovely. As you're humbling yourself and disengaging unto Thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. I'm trusting in You. I'm just going this route, Lord. My trust is in You. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Let none that wait on You, that behold You, that go simple, that go true, honest, and just, be ashamed. Let none be ashamed that cast their cares on the Lord. And let the peace of God rule in their heart. Let none of them be ashamed. But let the Spirit of God change me from glory to glory. Transform me by the renewing of my mind. Happy is the man. Listen to this. You're seeking for wisdom. You're calling upon the Lord for wisdom. This is what the scripture describes what it's like when you get it. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. Isn't there something about that private epic moment with God when you see something you haven't seen before? You can't buy that. There's no money that can buy it. There's not enough social love that can buy that. It's beyond that. I don't need that. I'm standing before my God, and I know He gets me, and I get Him. And He really does care at these intimate levels. These are private, intimate moments that you have that are between you and God and Him alone. You know, there was a time when I was hungering and thirsting after God in some different areas, and I got a revelation of God that I was a new creation in Christ Jesus. Well, I knew that. I'd get it right on a test. But there was a time when I was just seeking after God, and He revealed that to me and just showed me I'm a new creation. But it was and I saw something in my spirit, my mind's eye, that I was brand new, and it just shook victim complexes, it shook sin complexes in a moment of time. It's amazing how You know, just a word from God can just change everything. And that's what you begin to get in those private, epic moments with God, is you're beginning to do things different and trust God. You experience some things. You experience revelation. I could see that I was a new creation, and I've never been able to unsee it since. It like marks you. These private epic moments with God, when it's between you and Him and you know you and you say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you with this, and His peace is there, His revelation is there, it changes you forever. You know when you do video games sometimes? You're playing a video game, but if you get to a certain marker, all right, and then you die after that marker, you don't have to go all the way back to the beginning. You go back to that marker, all right? These are like milestones of progress. And as you begin to trust God, it's like, yeah, I've missed it and failed since I've had these revelation epic moments, but it's not like I go all the way back to nothing. I've got some things that have marked my heart that I know. There's things that I can't unsee. There's things that I can't unknow. There's things that I've had experiences in God that are there, that are real, that are true, that'll always go with me from now till I'm in His presence. And these are some things that you get in Him. These are some things that you experience. Here's just an example of an account that we have. Moses in the burning bush. This is a private encounter. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of the bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. I am the Lord, God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile, spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. This is a private epic moment with God. We all know it because Moses wrote it down. But in real time, nobody was there but him and God. He was in front of that burning bush. He had to turn aside and see. He had to do something that you always do. He was tending his flock. And that's where God begins to call us, begins to move in our hearts, to turn aside to see, to begin to do some things different. And there's just something about knowing that God knows. There's going to be some times when you've been praying about some things, you're going to journal something, and it's going to be God speaking to you, and He's going to talk to you like that. I have seen your frustration. I've seen the hurt in your heart. I love you. I am right there in the middle of it. But it's not just somebody telling you God loves you. It's the Spirit of God in you showing you some things. And praise God, these epic, private epic moments you have with God begin to change. They begin to cause you to hunger, because there's something about when something starts out as an anxiety and I cast the care of it over on the Lord, and I'm by faith letting the peace of God rule my mind, my thoughts, that understanding, that reasoning, and all of a sudden I get a breakthrough and God shows me something and I get the wisdom that I asked for. I'll tell you what, it validates the fact that I can trust God with any care or any issue of my life. Not just that thing, but anything. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. So in letting the peace of God rule in your heart, we got to realize the same peace that wants to lead and guide us into all truth, as far as maybe what school to go to, relationships, financial decisions, those big decisions of life, that same Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth also wants to lead us and guide us in the area of our thought life. He wants to call balls and strikes, and we have to let Him call balls and strikes. We got to let Him call balls and strikes as it relates to, is this what God would say? You know, sometimes I've had that, and sometimes I've actually done that where I've been, you know, maybe worked up about something, and I'll stop and say, Lord, is that you? And I know it's not Him, but I'll say, Lord, is that you? And I'll say, okay, Ed, that's how I get myself kind of back to center sometimes, you know, because I know that's not God, that's not His voice. But we can get so in there, but we got to let that piece of God rule and say, okay, Lord, nope, I'm going to let that piece pass my understanding. I'm going to let your ways, I'm going to disengage, I'm going to let my peace return to me sometimes. I'm not going to let my peace stay in something that I know isn't God. I'm not letting my peace stay in a household or a thought that it just isn't God, that it isn't appreciated. I'm going to let my peace return to me and then go and then, you know, enjoy that peace and let my peace be in a place that's true, honest, just, a place where my peace can be appreciated, where the things of God are appreciated. And what does that lead to ultimately? It's private epic moments with God. God's doing this in us to change us, to get us to some places in Him that we can walk out those good works He's ordained us to walk in. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that we can let peace rule in our hearts. And I just pray for us here this morning that You just show us what this message means to us individually, Lord, that we can begin to realize that peace isn't something that we're feeling for or we're grasping for. These are deliberate decisions to let You have Your way, Lord. Let You have Your way in the way that we think, the way that we reason, and to just know that You're leading us into some amazing paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I want Your peace to rule my heart, to rule my mind. It's okay that Your peace is greater than my understanding. I let Your peace go out ahead of what I know. I trust You. I lift up my soul to You, Lord. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me, but let God arise and let His enemies be scattered. As I go forth, and let Your peace rule in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, and these are things, you know, again, a preacher can come up here and preach some principles and dynamics and different things like that, but this is where God really begins to get so personal and real. And, you know, I just, like I've said even before, even you're talking about calling upon the name of the Lord, or you're talking about casting your cares on the Lord, that there's a dynamic of this where it says, Lord, show me how to do this. Show me how to navigate this. You know, the Bible says the strong meat belongs to the mature spiritually. Those who by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern good and evil. We're all at different places of use. We're all at different places of having our senses exercised. And sometimes my heart cries, Lord, just show me, Lord, if there's anything I can do better or whatever. I'm here, Lord. I just want to learn this. I'm going to stay with this, Lord, until Your peace is ruling every area of my heart and mind. There's a personal cry out to the Lord in this stuff. So don't let these guidelines in any way become a letter of the law, okay? Let them be life to you. Let them be encouraging to you, and let your relationship with God just cause these to grow into a place that it's a sweet, sweet fellowship with Him. Praise God.